No, you're not in trouble. That's
Love
all.
Talk Radio.
Okay.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. We praise God for being here today in Jesus' name. It is another wonderful Saturday in Jesus' name. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. Amen. We praise God for each and every person being here, amen, here in the Hoosier State. Amen. It's raining here, but we're still giving God the praise in Jesus' name. I'm looking out the window, and I'm looking at the rain. Amen. I'm looking at the rain come down, but amen. We praise God in the name of Jesus. It's a blessed day. Amen. Amen. We praise God for being here on today. I want to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ first, who is the head of my life. I want to give honor to my pastor, Pastor William Tuggle III, and my First Lady Cosette Tuggle, in Jesus' name. Also giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network, Apostle Cook. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God for being here on today. And on today, we are talking about a very, very powerful topic today. But first, I want to do something, and I'm going to do this as the Holy Ghost leads. Minister Adam Tuggle, am not here for glory of my own. I'm here because the Lord has blessed me to be here. And I thank God for every time that the Lord allows me to teach, preach, or whatever. But I thank God, me, because it is nothing but the grace of God that I'm here. And it's nothing but the grace of God that you're still here, in Jesus' name. Me personally, I thank God for this network, and I thank God for each and every listener. Amen. Whether you love me, whether you love me or you don't, amen. I still love you in Jesus' name. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen. And I humbly say with all humility, I do love each and every person in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Today we are talking about a very powerful topic today. You were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. Amen. You are bought with a price. Amen. And it might sound like, well, what do you, some people may not understand what I'm talking about. or some people might not understand the title of the topic today. So I'm going to give, you know, a little outline on what it is. We are going into the Christmas season, and I know that man's version of Christmas is Santa Claus and all that stuff, but the birth of Christ, the objective of the birth of Christ was for Christ to come and to die. That was his main objective. Out of everything that Christ did for us at that time, for mankind, everything that Christ did while he was on the earth in bodily form, from the healings to the preaching to the laying on of hands to every miracle that he performed in his 33 and a half years of living, Jesus' main purpose was to die. And this is where this topic comes from. You are bought with a price. Now, I know we celebrate the birth of Christ and the death of Christ on two different months, two different types of holidays, but it all comes back to this. Because the Lord could not find anybody, where he wasn't going to find anybody, I believe, that he wasn't going to find anybody because man was covered with sin. And he couldn't find nobody to eradicate the sin as far as mankind is concerned. No mortal person could eradicate sin because mankind was in a sinful state because of the fall of Adam. And so he had to come himself. And this is where this topic comes from. So I'm going to read to you two scriptures, and then we're going to get into this lesson here. The first scripture that's coming from this topic, we are bought with a price, is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to read the 19th and the 20th verse. Amen. And then after that, we're going to go to Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. Amen. And I'm going to read this in your hearing. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It reads, "What know ye not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God. And ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." Now, I want to clear something up for the people that says, well, which are gods? That is an apostrophe S, which means the spirit and the body. Our spirit and our body belongs to God. It doesn't mean gods like this person over here or this God over here and that God over there. That does not mean that. I'm just clarifying. I'm just trying to clarify it. For people that might, you know, say, oh, man, they serve multiple gods. No. But what it's saying in these two verses is it's telling us that we which have the Holy Ghost and for the Holy Ghost to dwell in us, we've been bought with a price. This is for saint and sinner. To let you know that you have been bought with a price, and those that have the Holy Ghost and have taken on the salvation of Christ that he paid for with his own blood, that the word of God has come to let us know that we are not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. I do not control what goes on. I'm not supposed to be in control. And I'm using me, when I say I'm using me as an example, because I don't want to offend anybody. Amen. So I'm using me. This is not me getting the big head, but this is me using me for an example, because I don't want to offend anybody else. Amen. But my life is not my own. Your life is not your own. When you come into the body of Christ, you and I are supposed to be used by God. This is what this means. And we, and the Lord has told us the reason why we are to give up the things of the world and the things that we are supposed to go to God for everything that we say and do is because we have been bought with a price. What was the price? The price was Jesus going to the cross and dying for the sins of mankind. He bought our salvation, because the Bible does say, in the Word of God, it does say, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So a wage needed to be paid. The wages of sin, sin was put upon mankind because of the fall of Adam. And for mankind to come out of sin, a wage needed to be paid. The wages, and in the Word of God, it says the wages of sin is death. Okay, so we know that the wages of sin is death. So you have to die to come out of the sin. But Jesus, being who he is, being so loving, he said, wait a minute, I'm gonna push man out of the way. I'm gonna allow man to take a step back, and I'm going to take their place. Where they should have been, where they should be, they should be on the cross, but I'm going to go to the cross for them. I'm going to eradicate sin. I'm going to, as we read in Matthew 1 and 21, for she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. We read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. These two scriptures are letting us know that Jesus came, that God formed himself a body. He put that body in the womb of a virgin, that womb that Mary gave birth to Jesus for the sole purpose of to eradicate sin through death on the cross. This is the main reason why Jesus came, because the Jews were looking for a way out of their captivity. They were in captivity naturally, and they were in captivity spiritually. And what God did was he came to get them out of spiritual captivity. We know that the Bible says that that we prosper as our soul prosper. He was looking at the natural captivity that they were in. This is where we see the children of Israel being brought out of bondage, out of Israel. But they were in spiritual captivity as well. His people were in spiritual. The whole world was in spiritual captivity. Man was in spiritual captivity because of the fall of Adam to sin. And so that had to be eradicated. And so when Jesus went to the cross and he died, and he, and you know, not only did he die, he was put in the grave. And not only was he put in the grave, but he rose on the third day. And all of this was to eradicate the sin that Adam brought onto the world. This is why it is a precious, he thought, and there's a lot of people out there in the world that want to be famous. We see it every day. We want somebody to acknowledge us. We want to see an acknowledgement. We want acknowledgement on our jobs. We want acknowledgement in the workplace. We want acknowledgement in the classroom. We want acknowledgement out there on social media. We want, If they not hitting the like button, we get mad. Well, guess what? Let me tell you something. Jesus acknowledged you when he went to the cross. Jesus acknowledged us when he went to the cross. He saw every sin that we were in and that we had on us. Because the Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says we were born and shapen in iniquity. Iniquity is another word for sin. Amen? It means sin. We were born and shapen in iniquity. Amen? David said, I was born and shapen in iniquity, and from my mother's womb did she conceive me. Amen? David was conceived in sin, and he was talking about he was being conceived in sin. So we were born and shapen in sin. But that sin has to be eradicated. And so that's what Jesus did. He eradicated sin. And it is up to us to make sure that we take on the life that God wants us to take on outside of sin, the life outside of sin. Amen. Let's go to the book of Isaiah 53. Because the reason why it was he bought us with a price, and he thought about us so much. He thought about you. He thought about me. He thought about the whole world when he went to the cross. Every sin was nailed to the cross. Every excuse was nailed to the cross. Amen? And we should not take the death of Christ as well as the birth of Christ, lightly. We should not take both of these things that Christ did for us lightly. The birth of Christ, we should not take it lightly, because if he had not been born, he wouldn't have been able to die. Amen? And if he had not died, we would not be eradicated from sin. Amen? We would not have right to the tree of life. Amen. We would not have life more abundantly. But some people, or I'll say a lot of people in this world, take the death of Christ for granted. But I want you to see something. I want you to see in the book of Isaiah, I'm going to read to you, and this is talking about some of what he went through during his death. And man, this is just some of the things that Jesus went through. Because this is, and you might say, well, this is in the book of Isaiah. Jesus wasn't even on the scene yet. Nope, you're right. But this is a prophecy. This is a prophecy. So Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5, and this is why we should not take the death of Christ lightly. Amen? Because he purchased our salvation, and that's the reason why we shouldn't take the death lightly, but this verse right here, Isaiah 53, verse number 5, says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, this is why we should not take the death of Christ lightly. This is showing us in this verse that he took, now, the Lord was beaten beyond recognition. Now, I will say this. Nobody knows the depiction of what Jesus actually went through. And this is my own personal opinion, that I think the only depiction that we have close to what Jesus actually went through, because nobody actually knows, and actually, except for those that were with him and actually saw him being beaten with the cat of nine tails and him being pierced in the side and all of that. We, in today's generation and time, won't know until we make it to heaven. And that's my own personal opinion. But I think the only depiction that we actually have to look at, to actually see, because, you know, some Christian movies, they try to depict the death of Christ, and, you know, they give little trinkets from blood, and, you know, they got, you know, the old 1970s, 1980s movies of, you know, the depiction of Jesus' death and all that. They gave little trinkets of blood and all that. But I think the best depiction of it was the Passion of the Christ. And that gave you a glimpse. That's just a glimpse of what Jesus went through. And this is why we should not take the death of Christ lightly, because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. If you and I are living, or if a person is living in sin, they ain't got no peace. I'm gonna tell you that now. A person that lives in sin, they might seem like they're living it up and they partying it up and all that, but they really don't have no peace. That's why the Bible says in this verse, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Sin brings no peace. Sin brings no peace. I'm going to tell you that. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it tells you what sin brings. Amen. It tells you what sin brings. Now, we were prisoners to our sins, in which we know this. And sin needed a ransom for us to be free from sin. Now, let's go to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6, verse 23. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Amen. And it reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What this is telling us is that basically what we said earlier. If you are in sin, there's a wage that needs to be paid. Now, the debt has been paid. You can come out of your sin to the point that you don't have to sin anymore. It's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to you. It's up to mankind to make a decision. Whether or not, see, there's a saying in a movie, and I think it's God's Not Dead. I believe that was the movie where this elderly lady that was playing, she was playing the mother. She had Alzheimer's in this movie. And her son, I mean, he was really, really big on himself and, you know, all of that. But she said something in that movie playing this role. The mother said something, you know, sin is like a prison. The door is open. But it's up to us to come out of it. When Jesus died, he opened the door for us to come out of our sin. But it's up to us to choose whether or not if we want to stay in the life that we're in, or if we want that life more abundantly, like Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. Like I said, sin brings no peace. It says that in John chapter 10, verse 10, too. It only brings, the thief coming but to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's what John 10 and 10 says. Sin, the thief brings sin. He wants you to mingle in sin. The sin brings no peace. It only steals, kills, and destroys you. That's what it does. That's why it brings no peace. Amen? But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We see that. Eternal life. But what does that mean? He wants you to have life in eternity. Not just down here. He wants you to have a life for life. He wants you to give up that sinful nature life that you came into the world with. Give it up. Because I bought your salvation. I bought your life with my own blood. I purchased your salvation. The natural, the human side of God, I'm going to tell you something. The human side of God did not want to die. He did not, the natural side of God, the body, the flesh, did not want to die. He said, if it be so, let this cup pass from me. Because Jesus already knew what he would have to go through. Jesus already knew. That's why he said it. His flesh did not want to die. But that's why he said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. What was the cup? The cup of death. He knew. I'm going to have to die. I'm going to have to get beat with the cat of nine tails. I'm going to get mocked. I'm going to get I'm going to have people spitting on me. I'm going to have people beating me. I'm going to have people do all of this stuff. Mocking me. Shoot. If somebody even just talk about us sometime, we ready to fight. Nonetheless, spit on us, beat on us. We But Jesus went through it. Jesus went through it because he knew I gotta do this because the people need to come out of their sin. Sin needs to be eradicated for them to get out of that sinful prison that they're in. Amen. And look, I want you to go to John 3:16, because I want us to see this. Me too. Amen. I want us to see this. John 3:16 and John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Now, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it talked about eternal life. Now, in John 3:16, it's talking about everlasting life. What is everlasting life? Now, first he talked about eternal life. Now he's talking about both. The everlasting life is both. You're passing from this life into eternal life. He's talking about both. Amen. In verse 17, it says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Salvation comes through the name of Jesus. It came through Jesus on the cross. It comes through Jesus through baptism. It comes through Jesus being in being filled with the Holy Ghost. Everything we need comes through Jesus, spiritually and naturally. Now watch this. John chapter 8. Let's go there real quick. John chapter 8. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 36. Amen. Amen. Watch this. And it reads, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. This shows us right here that everything comes through, everything good in our life comes through Jesus. You want to be spiritually free, it comes through Jesus. If you want to be naturally free, it comes through Jesus. If you want to be financially free, it comes through Jesus. This verse right here says it. It comes through, it's the Son. Who's the Son? Jesus. We quoted the scripture in Matthew 1:21, for she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name what? Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. Saved, being set free from sin, being set free from anything, is being free. Being free from whatever you're in. Amen? Don't take his death lightly. His death on the cross has made a path for us to be free from sin. How do we know this? Let's go back to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 45. Amen. Let's go there real quick. To Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 2. Now, his death on the cross has made a pathway for us to be free from sin. Isaiah 45 and verse number 2 lets us know this. Amen. And verse number 3 as well. Amen. Isaiah 45, verse number 2 reads, I will go before thee, which means I'm going before you. I'm ahead of you. I'm going way before you even get there. I'm going before you. And make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. And cut in sunder the bars of iron. Sin, whatever you're going through, I don't care if it's mental, if it's physical, I don't care what it is, whatever you're going through, the Bible says lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you. The bars that this verse is talking about, it's talking about sin. It's talking about anything that you go through. Amen? But it's mainly talking about sin. Amen? He said that he will make the crooked places straight. Sometimes we don't know which way to go. Sometimes life gets so hard in our life, we don't know which way to go, but God has made the crooked places straight. Amen? I will break in pieces the gates of brass. The gates of brass. What are gates of brass? The hard places that is hard to get into. The peace of mind. Sometimes it's hard to get it seems so hard to get a peace of mind sometimes. And you might say, well, I need this to have a peace of mind. I need that to have a peace. You don't need that. God already broke the gate of brass to get to your peace of mind. That wall that's been put between you and your next miracle, God already tore down the walls. He already tore it down. Amen. This is why he died. This is why he died. This is why he came and he died. Amen. And verse number 3 says, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of the secret places, that thou must know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. This means he's going to give you what you need. He's made the crooked places straight for you to be able to walk to where you need to get to the blessing that you need to get to. He's going to break down the gate. It may not even feel, you might be going through something right now that it may not even feel like a gate. It might feel like a whole big mountain. Well, the Bible says, speak unto this mountain, tell it to be thou removed, and it shall be done. Just like Jesus spoke to the fig tree and cursed the fig tree, and it was cursed, he can curse that problem and tell that problem to be thou removed. The Holy Ghost that rests, rules, and abides on the inside of us has the power to make the crooked places straight in our life. It has the power to tear down the barriers. We must know our worth in God and in life. We must choose what life we will live. It's hard. It might seem hard for you to choose. If I lean towards God, I might miss out on something. You ain't missing out on nothing. There are some people in life that you have not made the choice whether to serve God. There are some people that call themselves Christians. A lot of people call themselves Christians. A lot of people call themselves religious. But that don't mean that they're Christian. Christian is to be Christ-like. To be Christ-like, you got to walk in holiness. You got to walk in righteousness. You have to walk in the Spirit of God. You have to take on his Spirit to be a Christian. We about to go there now. We have to make a choice whether or not we want to serve God or serve man. Amen. Let's go to the book of Joshua. Amen. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 and 16. That's Joshua chapter 24, verses 15 and 16. And it reads, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 16 reads, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. This is the thing that we have to do. We have to make a choice. We have to make a choice whether or not if we want to take on the life that God has for us outside of the sinful life that we came into the world with. We have to make that decision. God is not going to force himself upon no man. Now, guess who will force himself upon you or try to force himself upon you? The devil. Have we ever thought about that? The Lord doesn't force us to serve him, but the devil tries us every single day that we wake up. The devil will try. He just barges in. He don't even try. He don't even knock first. He just barges in. Sometimes, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you an example. When you are in a problem, say you got a problem on your job, and you trying to figure out what, say the boss man made you mad, and you trying to figure out what to do. You, should I leave the job or should I do? And the devil start playing with your mind. You should go off on him. The devil just barges on in. What in the world? Where did you come from? But it's up to us to make the choice whether to rebuke it or go on and do it. We have choices every single day. The whole world makes a lot of choices every day. Millions, billions upon billions of choices. For the whole world, trillions of choices. You choose whether you want to serve God or not. You choose what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to do, you choose what job you're going to work for. Millions upon billions upon trillions of choices. But the one choice out of those trillions of choices, that one important choice that you need to make and that you're going to have to make is whether or not if we are going to serve God or not. And if we serve God, when you serve a person, you don't serve them the way you want to be served. You serve that person the way they would like to be served. That's a service. That's service. That's good hospitality. You don't serve the person the way you think they should be served. No, you serve them. And I learned this in retail. Me personally, I learned this in retail. That in retail work, I've worked in retail what 17 years, and in my 17 years of doing retail work, I had to serve people. The people came first, and sometimes I was a cashier, sometimes I was a stocker, and there was a time where I was a manager too. But I had to serve the people, and I couldn't serve them the way I thought that they should be served. I had to serve them to their need, to their wants, to their desires. Sir, do you have this or that? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. We have that. Let me show you where it is. That's service. And so when I said all that to say this, when we serve God, God has a requirement of service to give to us. And we must serve him the way he wants to be served. He wants us. This is the requirement of service. The first requirement of service. Hold on, because I'm getting ahead of myself here. Hold on. I'm getting ahead of myself. We have to make a choice. We have to make a choice whether or not if we want to serve God or we want to serve the flesh, the devil, man, whatever. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Leave it. Let's see. Mark chapter 8. Verses 34 through 38. Amen. And it reads, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever, that's anybody, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, that's a requirement that God said. You have, in serving God, this is a part of the requirement to serve God. He made it plain. Whosoever will come after me, which means you serving me, which means you serving me. If you want to serve me, you got to do this. Let him deny himself. What is denying yourself? Denying the fleshly desires. Desiring what at the time I might want to sleep, but God wants me to get up and pray. So I'm going to have to put off sleep and get up and pray. Or the Lord might say, well, I fast today. Oh, no, Lord, I can't, you know, we got that big meeting at the job and we're going to have all this food and stuff and you want me to fast? Deny yourself. Well, me and the wife gotta go and, you know, we have our anniversary and we getting ready to go out to eat and you asking me to fast? Deny yourself. That's denying yourself. But Lord, I got this bill over here. Deny yourself. That's service unto the Lord. Take up your cross. It's going to be hard. It ain't going to be easy. When you take up your cross and follow Jesus, it's not going to be easy. The Bible says, whosoever suffers, if you'll suffer with him, you'll reign with him. Amen? If you suffer with Jesus, you'll reign with Jesus. It's not going to be easy. The load is not going to be light sometimes. You might have a small test. You might get a big test. You might have a major test. But it's not going, you're not going to go through this life at a flower bed of ease. That's just, it's simple. Verse 35 says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. What does this mean? If you give up your life for Christ, you trying to hold on to something. Well, I can come to Christ as long as I can have this, or as long as I can have that, or as long as I can do this. Let it go. You trying to save something. Well, you know, I got to have my weed. I got to have my drink. I got to have my, no. Uh-uh. You know, I'm not married, so, you know, I got to, have my woman every now and then. I got to have my man every now and then. No, the devil is a lie. I'm lonely, the devil. Deny yourself. He said he'll be a friend that's taken closer than a brother. Well, I got to have companionship. He will be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll teach you until he sends Mr. Right or Mrs. Right along. But he can be your companion. I know. First Lady Tuggle, before she married Pastor Tuggle, she was content. She was content. She was content with Jesus alone, with her and Jesus. And if she was here, she'll tell you. She was content with Jesus. She, as much as some men wanted to try to get with her. Nope, me and Jesus. And she waited until the Lord said. And she knew, look, my father knew and my mother knew. Like, hey, we know it's Jesus. Okay, we can do this. We can go on and get married. But that's how close we need to be with God. That if it's just me and Jesus, then I'm all right. I ain't got to hold on to nothing. I can let go of everything and still be all right. I can lose. We have to have that Job faith, as I'm used to saying. We got to have that Job faith. Amen. In verse 36, it reads, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Verse 37 says, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What does this mean? If you choose to hold on to the things of this world, and you want to hold on, what does it profit you for you to gain everything in this worldly, in this cold world? Fame, fortune, and all that other stuff. You trying to hang on to that stuff. What does it profit you if you lose your soul? Your soul is the most important thing in the world. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why Jesus was born. He died for your soul. He died for your soul. So that you might have a right to the tree of life. Amen. Let's go to Jeremiah 29, because the Lord is leading me to this in Mark chapter 8. Let's go to Jeremiah 29. Amen. Because the Lord, man. Lord is good, y'all. Amen. In Jeremiah 29, verse number 11. Amen. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Now, watch this. He wants us to have life. He wants us to choose. He wants us to choose. Now, as a person, if I could save everybody, I would. Everybody had a Holy Ghost. But it's up to you. It's up to you to take on salvation. It's up to you to want salvation. The Lord is very, very happy. If you want it, he'll give it to you. He'll happily give it to you. He'll graciously give it to you. But it's up to you to receive it. Amen? In Jeremiah, and as a matter of fact, he talks about it. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, this is the thought he has toward us. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. The thoughts of peace. When you have the Holy Ghost, you got peace. When you take on salvation, you'll have peace. The Bible lets us know, how do I know when I have the Holy Ghost, I'll have peace? He is the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. It's his spirit. John chapter 14, verse 26. Amen. He is the Holy Ghost. And so when we take on the whole, when we receive the Holy Ghost, as it's recorded in Acts 2 and 38, then we have peace. Because the Bible says he'll keep your mind in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. Now, if you have the Holy Ghost, you take on the mind of Christ. You start seeing things through the eyes of Christ. How do we know? Romans chapter 12. Let's go there real quick. I'm going away from my notes, but real quick. Hold on. We're getting ready to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. How do I know when I have the Holy Ghost? That Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Amen. Just real quick, I want to look at this. I want you guys to see this. I want to be able to let the Lord endow us. I want with the scripture. Amen. See where the Lord has taken us. Amen. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you have the Holy Ghost, you'll be in the mind of Christ, which means you'll be able to perform and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You'll be able to live out the will of God for your life. You'll be able to have peace because you'll have the mind of Christ. Everything about you will be holy. Amen. This is what we're talking about. Amen. What is the choice that the Lord wants us to make? What is the choice that the Lord wants us to make? A life for a life. That's what he wants. Amen. A life for a life. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This is why he came. He came to give life, a life for a life. That sinful, what do you mean by a life for a life? That sinful life that you came into the world with, he wants to take that life away from you and give you an abundant life. So how do we receive it? Okay, we have to come to him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Oh, there goes the word service, serving. There goes that word again. We serving. Amen. Now, once we make that choice, What are the steps to me receiving this thing you're talking about, Brother Adam? What is this thing called the Holy Ghost? Well, how do I receive it? Let's go to Acts 2 and 38 and 39. We're going to read it because this is the way to be saved. Acts 2 and 38. And if you don't believe, there are other scriptures in the book of Acts where people were baptized in the name of Jesus or underneath the Lord Jesus. Amen. Acts 2 and 38, but this was the first baptism that took place. This is the first baptism of the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost came, when the Holy Ghost fell. This was the first baptism for the Jews to be saved out of their sins. Amen. Because we already know that John baptized, and, you know, I'm not saying that this was the first baptism in history of spiritual history, a biblical history, but I'm saying that this was the first baptism that was given, and the Holy Ghost fell in that, where they was able to receive the Holy Ghost, amen, in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, amen. And this is what Peter said. Now, these are the steps to receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then Peter said unto them, repent, that's number one, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Boom. That's number two. For the remission of sins. What is remission of sins? Remission means eradicate. The removal of sin. The removal of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you might say, well, I've been baptized and I've been baptized. I've been baptized. And I'm still doing the same thing. I've been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you this right now. If a person has been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Lord has more for you than just titles. And I'm going to say that, and when I say I'm trying to say this as nice as I can and as humbly as I can. There is more for a person. If a person has been baptized underneath Matthew 28:19, which is where which some preachers believe in, I'm here to tell you that was not the right form of baptism. Nobody in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Nobody. And you won't find it nowhere. But you will find in the book of Acts and throughout the book of Acts where people were baptized in the name of Jesus or the Lord Jesus, but the name was still given when baptism took place. And also, the same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost in the upper room happens today. Once you are filled with the Holy Ghost, once a person is filled with the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. I don't care what nobody says. Jesus does not change. There are some people that believe, well, that's just a gift, and that's, look, the gift of tongues and speaking in tongues are two different things. The interpretation of tongues, that's two different things. Speaking in tongues is letting you know that the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you because you cannot see the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. So how do you know that he's in you? Our tongue is the most deadliest member of our body. The tongue can speak life. The tongue can speak death. That's why the Bible says the power, the power of life and death lie in the power of the what? The tongue. And it's an unruly member. What does it mean by the tongue being an unruly member? A part of your body that is unruly. A tongue, look, your tongue and my tongue and anybody's tongue can speak life or death. It just like this. I'll give you this example. Say you wake up and say, oh, man, it's going to be another bad day. And then it ends up happening. Everything just in turmoil. That's because you spoke it. You spoke it into existence, the tongue. So he comes to tame that tongue. And look what happens. Look what happens. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, this is what will happen. And if it happened then, it happens now. This is why we are saying today, you need the Holy Ghost. You need God's Spirit on the inside of you to be able to live. You need it. Every day that you get up and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you are playing Russian roulette with your life. This is why God said you are bought with a price. He purchased your salvation so that you might be able to receive the Holy Ghost, His Spirit on the inside of you. The Bible says greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. What is the greater? The greater is the Holy Ghost. So that you might have life. He said he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's putting life on the inside of you. When his Spirit is dwelling on the inside of you, you got life on the inside of you. Amen. Now watch this. This is not in my notes, but God wants me to read this. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, this is what will happen when a person receives the Holy Ghost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothing tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse number 4 clears it up. Once you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Why? Because you cannot see, you just like you can't see the wind blowing. If I look out my window, I can't see the wind blowing. But if I see the leaves moving, I know that the wind is blowing because I can see the wind blowing through the trees. It's just like a doctor. When a baby is born, the doctor looks for life out of that baby in its what? In that baby's cry. When that baby cries out, that lets the doctor know, hey, that baby got life. Well, that's the same thing in the spirit. Once you cry out, and I don't mean physically crying, but once you speak in tongues, that lets you know that you have the Holy Ghost. Because it happened here on the day of Pentecost. And what happens? What happens once we receive the Holy Ghost? What happens? See, he wants to eradicate the sin, but how do you might say, well, I got the whole, we sin daily. We sin daily. You ain't got the sin if you got the Holy Ghost. You ain't got the sin. You don't have to fall into sin. Why? Because the Holy Ghost in Acts 1 and 8, it says, after. And ye shall receive power after. after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, I want to, real quick, before, because I'm almost out of time, I want to go back just a little bit. Who is the Holy Ghost for? You might say, well, the Holy Ghost is not for me. I've done so much, and I've done this, and I've done that. Or maybe you might be a child today, and you might say, well, the Holy Ghost ain't for me because, you know, I'm too young. Or I'm too old. No, Acts chapter 2, verse 39 says, for the promise is unto you and unto your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What does this verse mean? This verse means the promise is the Holy Ghost. This is why Jesus died. This is why Jesus died. He died for Acts 2 and 38 and 39. This is why he bought your salvation. This is how we receive salvation. Acts 2 and 38. That's how we, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 is what will happen when we receive our verse number 4. Well, that's what will happen when you receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 lets you know what to do to receive the Holy Ghost. But Acts chapter 2, verse 4, that lets you know what happens after you have received to take on the Holy Ghost. That you'll speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. That'll let you know that the Holy Ghost reigns on the inside of you. Amen. And then once you receive the Holy Ghost, you got the power, as we read in Acts 1 and 8. Amen. Let's go to Romans real quick. Let's go to the book of Romans again. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Amen. Now, why should we be baptized? Why should we be baptized in Jesus' name? Romans chapter 6, verse number 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was, just like Christ was raised from the dead by the grace of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. The baptism, well, the repentance and the baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost is symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you repent of your sins, you are telling God, God, this sinful nature that I'm in, I want it dead. I'm dying out to the sin, the sinful nature that was brought up on me when I was born. You had nothing to do with it. You didn't do it. You didn't cause it. It was Adam's fault. You came into this world a sinner not by your own accord. So the Lord is not blaming you, but the Lord wants you to come out of the sin that mankind put you in. And if you are out of sin, and if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, stand in what you believe. Stand in what God has given you. Don't walk away from it. Amen. It's no time to turn back now. Amen. This is what it's talking about. Wherefore we are buried with him by baptism. Buried with him unto death. Which means when we get baptized, our sinful nature is buried. Once we repent, our sinful nature has died out, and everything dead needs to be buried. So when you go down in the liquid grave in Jesus' name, your sinful nature has to be buried because your sinful nature is dead, and it's got to be buried. So it's buried, and then once you come up and you speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, the Holy Ghost will come. The Holy Ghost will come in, and you'll speak in tongues to let you know, hey, I got the Holy Ghost. And it's not something that you learn. Speaking in tongues is not something that you learn. It is something that God will do in you. And I've said this before. We need the speaking in tongues for two reasons. Number one, to let us know that we have the Holy Ghost. And number two, to distract the devil. What do you mean we need tongues to distract the devil? No, I don't. What do you mean? Because when you pray, sometimes when we pray in English, those that are here in America, we speak English or whatever country you're from, if you speak English, the devil hears you when you pray. Not only does the Lord hear you, but the devil hears you. And the devil tries to block the blessings that you're requesting from God. But when you speak in your heavenly language, when you pray in your heavenly language, it blocks the enemy. How does it block the enemy? Because it is a personal conversation. That's why it's not always good to pray in English. Sometimes it's good to pray in your heavenly language. Pray in tongues. Because the Spirit will make intercession for you. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost pray. But once you start praying in your heavenly language, you start praying in your heavenly language and the Holy Ghost will start praying. The devil don't know what you're talking about. The devil don't know what you're talking about. He'll stand there looking big at it. Like, okay, wait a minute. I don't know whether to hit him left. I don't know whether to hit him right. What do I do? Because they don't know what you're saying. It's just like two people speaking Spanish. And I'll use me for an example. Because I don't know a lick of Spanish. I don't speak fluent Spanish. I know a little bit, very little. But if two people speaking Spanish in front of me, I ain't gonna know what they're saying. Same thing with the Holy Ghost. Same thing speaking in tongues. When you pray in your heavenly language, the devil don't know what you're talking about. That's a personal conversation between only two people know what's going on, you and the Lord. The two best ways, and this is out of my notes and I'm done after this, the two best ways to pray from what the Lord has given me is the two best ways to pray and you want results is to pray in your heavenly language and to pray in your mind. You might say, "Bro, Brother Adam, that's the best war tactic spiritually to pray in." Two best war tactics to pray in spiritually. If you underneath spiritual attack or you're going into spiritual warfare, it's best for you and I to pray in tongues in our heavenly language or to pray in our mind. Because the devil don't know your thoughts. That's the reason. That's number one. And God knows your thoughts way before you think them. And yes, you can pray in your mind. That's why I used to tell people when I was in school, IPS, Indiana Public Schools, any township school that I went to, they ain't take prayer out of schools. They did not take prayer out of schools. As much as the United States likes to take credit for taking prayer out of schools, no, you didn't, because I can pray in my mind and you don't even know I'm praying. You didn't take prayer out of schools. So I'm here to let the government know now, you did not take prayer out of schools. You did not take prayer. You might have said it, but really you didn't. Every government around the world, you ain't take prayer out of schools. You ain't take prayer out of nowhere, because people can pray in their mind or pray in their heavenly language. If they got the Holy Ghost, you can pray in your heavenly language. The Bible says he who worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is a part of worshiping him, worshiping him in your heavenly language. Mm-hmm. So I'm finished, y'all. I'm done, y'all. Y'all, man, we've had a good time here on the show. I got 8 minutes. If there is anybody that wants to have a quick comment, you can leave your comment at this time. I know it's late and we got only 8 minutes left, but if anybody wants to leave a comment, you can at this time in Jesus' name. You are unmuted, and I forgot to say that at the beginning of the show in Jesus' name. Does anybody have a comment? Amen. 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 If not, well, I think the Lord it was well pleased with this show on today. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week. Amen. And I pray that you, on tomorrow, I challenge somebody. Go get your shout on. Go get your praise on. Go to church tomorrow and get your praise on. Amen. And give God the glory. Give God your best praise. Because you don't know when. And I ask, I am saying this because you don't know when it might be your last time. You don't know when it might be your last time to praise him. There are some people, and that doesn't necessarily mean death either. I mean that you and I could have an experience where there's a lot of people that are, you know, in wheelchairs and don't have any legs or whatever, but, you know, or maybe whatever it might be, but you don't know when it might be your last time to give God the praise. So go give God the praise. Amen. I pray that you have a very, very blessed rest of your weekend. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week next week in Jesus' name. And until next Saturday, this is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, amen, radio show right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio, the Spirit Alive Network. God bless you, Spirit Alive family. I love you in Jesus' name. This is the Spirit Alive Network, where it is our fervent prayer that you be transformed in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you in the name of Jesus Christ. I love you. And as my grandmother used to say, if I don't see you again, or if you don't hear me again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ.